This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What does the U.S. Treasury Secretary think we can do about currency manipulation by America's trading partners? From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Arguably the top business and economic story of the month was the release the other day of details, the nitty-gritty, of the trade deal known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership. What's in there could define not just Pacific Rim trade relations, but global trade relations and intellectual property for a generation. But what is not in the TPP is also important. Ford Motor Company is among U.S. companies that have been clamoring for ways to stop trade partners from weakening their currencies to help their exports and hurt ours. President Obama will travel to Turkey this weekend for a meeting of richer countries, the group of 20. Among those at his side, Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew, who joins us from his office in Washington. I asked him about a new international deal to limit currency manipulation that is not in the TPP, but negotiated on the side.
There is, for the first time ever in the context of a trade agreement, a joint declaration that commits countries to refrain from practices that could be seen as being unfair currency practices, a commitment to a transparency regime so that we can each see clearly what each other are doing, and an agreement to have a process to hold each other accountable. I can tell you that in my role here, I have used every opportunity I've had to bring clearly to bear the influence of the United States to have countries change policies that we think are unfair. And I think with the joint declaration on currency, it's a way to add to our toolkit ways that we can hold countries accountable if they step out of line. So I think it's important.
In the pact about currencies, though, I'm not seeing really an enforcement mechanism. What happens if a country does the wrong thing? I mean, is there a way to punish them?
What the joint declaration does is it says that there has to be a regular process of monetary authorities engaging on these issues. The ability to hide behind opaqueness goes away. Now, I actually think that if that transparency is there, you'll see less of the behavior that requires the kind of intervention I'm describing, because that opaqueness is something that countries hide behind. It's not as if they want to stand up and say, we're engaging in competitive devaluation. They usually say, we're not doing it. I think the idea of creating a mechanism where central banks would be brought into a trade arbitration process is one that no country in the world would have agreed to. And frankly, if it was a question of putting our central bank decisions in a similar place, we would have problems with that as well.
We have a long history on this program of asking sitting U.S. Treasury secretaries about the direction of interest rates, and they never say a thing. If I ask now, would the outcome be any different?
I'm not going to break the tradition.
I was afraid about that. So I'll ask about this. What's currently going on with interest rates in the U.S. is roiling, especially emerging market economies and markets. Anything we can do to help them?
Globally, both emerging and developed economies are looking at the United States as a source of great strength. And I must say that even over the last 3 years, I've seen a dramatic change. Where 3 years ago, you were at the end of the period of people saying, how could the United States have been at the center of a world financial crisis, to how can we be as resilient and respond as quickly as both the American people do and the American policy does. Clarity of communication is important, and that's why you see so much emphasis on communication. And, the reality is a stronger U.S. economy is good for the world. And our concern is looking internationally at how do you generate more solid and sustainable growth in other parts of the world. And that's the kind of conversation we'll be having at the G20.
Jack Lew, U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, thank you.
Good to be with you, David. Thank you.
I also spoke to Secretary Liu about the federal government's new entry-level retirement savings account. Pretty easy to get into and backed by the government. If you missed this part of the conversation on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org later on. And in the online version, we also talk about what to do about banks that might see themselves as too big to fail. Let's check the numbers. London's 100 share index is down 1.1% now. There's news today. Eurozone economies grew less than expected last quarter. Germany was quite weak, but France looks stronger. The key S&P future is down 0.25%. Dow and Nasdaq futures are also down. In what could become the biggest international acquisition ever by a Chinese state-owned company, Bloomberg News is reporting on a potentially massive deal in the chemical industry. The BBC's Russell Padmore is looking into this for us.
Syngenta of Switzerland told me today it's got no comment to make on reports of a takeover offer from the China National Chemical Corporation, or ChemChina. It has been reported the state-owned Chinese chemical company offered $42 billion to buy Syngenta. But the Swiss company said no, that rejection based on regulatory grounds. Now, Syngenta's shares have risen more than 10% here in Europe. The market is reacting to speculation both companies will continue talking, so a deal could still be on the cards. Now, the American agri or bioscience firm Monsanto is going to be watching closely. You may recall Syngenta rejected its offer of a marriage in August. Now, the Chinese offer that Syngenta turned down is reportedly close to the $47 billion that Monsanto put on the table. When the Swiss firm rejected that, it said it significantly undervalued the company. Do remember, ChemChina is the largest enterprise in the Chinese chemical industry, and as a state-owned company, it's got deep pockets. Investors are betting it might return with a sweeter offer.
Our friend at the BBC's Russell Padmore. Also from China today, a new move by policymakers to keep stock markets there from getting overexcited with new limits on borrowing money to buy stocks. This news broke after the markets closed in Asia. Still, the main index in Shanghai closed down 1.3% today. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. From Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.